Well, it's good to be here this morning. I'm going to have you turn to a couple places, if you would. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And when you get there, use your ribbon marker or finger or toe, whatever you want to use. I don't care what you want to use to mark in. I actually have a lot of things in my Bible that I use to mark. I have a candy wrapper here that was from a message that Brother Terry Angel preached. So that's what that's from. I have cough drop wrappers in here from when I use a cough drop, and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to mark that spot. So I'll use that in there. I have a ribbon marker from a missionary in Mexico as well. So I have a lot of things that I use in my Bible to mark stuff. So you can use whatever you want to. And then once you find that, mark that, because we're going to come back to it, and then turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17 is where we will start this morning. It's good to be here this morning. A little bit about who we are. My name is Andrew Morris, and I'm the music director at Victory Baptist Church in Carterville, Illinois. Pastor Glenn Auger is our pastor, and he has met your pastor, and I have not. So your pastor is very trusting to allow somebody to come in here to his pulpit that he has not met. So we are thankful for the chance to be here. This is my wife, Tessa, here, and then our son, Ethan. We'll just go on down the line, oldest to youngest. We'll start like that. Then we got son, Ethan, here. He's 19. Emma will be turning 16 tomorrow, and then we have Abigail, I guess somewhere in the kids group. She is 5, and then my mother-in-law is with us, Debbie Pettis. She's with us this morning as well, so it's good to be here. I think I'm not what your pastor expected whenever he called back when I left him a message and he was going to call me back, and he started out by saying, yes, he said, this is Pastor Evans, and then he paused, he said, how old are you? So I think what he was thinking, because our pastor had told him that, you know, we have an institute, and he knew we had an institute, and we have some college young men that are learning in the institute and preparing, some of them are preparing for ministry in some way, shape, or form, you know. And so I think he was expecting one of those young men to be calling him back. He didn't expect to get an overweight, middle-aged guy with gray in his beard, you know, so, and a family, you know, of 5. So that's what he got instead. So I think it kind of shocked him when he said, how old are you, you know. So, but we appreciate the opportunity to come and preach here this morning. Anyways, how many of you were here when the church started? A few of you, all right. I went to school with Melody and Janie Frederick at the Christian school down in Mount Vernon from here, actually. So I'm familiar. I don't think I ever came here, maybe once when I was younger. I wasn't for sure if this was the church that Brother Jake had pastored. And once when I met Brother Frederick back here, I realized, okay, this is the church, you know. So, and I talked to him. So it's kind of neat to have that. History there and to have a little familiarity with some of the people here. Well, let's go ahead and look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll begin at verse number 20. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 20. And again, hold your place there in 1 Corinthians. We will be to that here in just a little bit. 1 Samuel 17, verse number 20. It says, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. Just a little history here. We know, of course, that Jesse had sent David, said, hey, I want you to go see how your brothers are doing. Go see how the battle's going. See how they are faring. And I'm going to send you some things with them, with you to give to them. And so we know David was just doing what he was told to do. He was obeying. And he was going like his father told him to do. And he comes here to verse number 20, and he goes to the trench, it says, and he shouts for the battle. Verse number 21, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. Excuse me. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. That's the same words that he had said previously, if you read before this. And David heard them, And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. We know why they were sore afraid. The guy was 9 foot tall, right? And he was a big dude. And so, and when the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that has come up?" That's probably why they said that, right? He's 9 foot tall. "Hey, you seen this guy? Have you missed him? You know, he's 9 foot tall." He said, "Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the men that stood by him, "What should be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning, Lord. We thank you for your word. We pray not your blessing this time, Lord. Just pray that you'll be with us, Lord, to hide me behind the cross, Lord. Just fill me with exactly the words that I need to say this morning. Lord, I pray that you just bless these people here this morning, Lord. We thank you for the veterans that were represented this morning, Lord. I pray that you bless our church as well. There in Carterville, Lord, be with pastors. He is preaching this morning as well, Lord. We pray not you bless and everything said and done today in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this passage here in 1 Samuel 17. And I think what I love the most is when you see the question that is posed here by Daniel. He says, "Is there not a cause?" I know there's been many messages preached, you know, on that, especially young people get a lot of messages about, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" But this question here, when he poses this, this shows David's intensity. And it shows his faith in the Almighty God. He's posing this question because he knows this giant, this Philistine, he calls him the uncircumcised Philistine. Why is he even standing up and you guys are letting him defy our God? You guys are letting him say these things that he is saying about our God. He says, why is he saying this? Is there not a cause? And so we see that his intensity, his faith in the Almighty God. And looking at this passage, I see two very simple things that I want us to look at here real quickly today, and then we'll move on. I promise I won't keep you long today. My wife told me I couldn't. She said, "Don't do that. Don't." I told her I was going to use her as an illustration too this morning. So, but she said, "No, don't preach." No, I'm just kidding. The first thing I see here is that the men in Saul's army could not defeat the giant, or even get out of their tents for that matter, because they were trying to do things under their own power. Kind of like what the brother was teaching on in Sunday school this morning, humanism. They're kind of stepping away from God, and they're trying to do things their own way, right? We know in Judges talks about that basically the men started doing that which seemed right in their own eyes. And so these men here, the army here, they were trying to do things under their own power. They weren't going with the power of God. We know, basically, really, this was Saul's army, not God's at the moment. Because God had already ceased to speak or work in Saul because of his sin and his disobedience back in chapter 15. And Goliath, really, the giant, he hit it pretty good. He said it very well when he said what he said in verse number 8. Tell you what, turn back there, look at verse number 8 of this same chapter. 17, excuse me, the giant stands up and it says he stood and cried to the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye," what's the next three words? Servants to Saul. Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. He said, "Your servants to Saul." Now, for years, you know, Israel had already has always been known as God's people, right? We understand that. Israel's always been known as God's people. And even their enemies who did not believe in God knew that, hey, these are God's people. They knew the power of God. They knew the might of God. They knew what God could do because they had seen it firsthand. You know, you can go all the way to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, or even before they came out of Egypt, all the 10 plagues. You know, you can even go before that. But I'm saying they had seen, their enemies had seen his might for many, many years, and they knew this was God's people. But what does Goliath call them? He calls them servants to Saul. I think Goliath maybe knew, hey, you're not coming in, you're God's power. You're just doing what, you know, your king, your guy here, what he wants you to do. And so they're doing this in their own power, and they were unable to even stand up against him, or they ran away, for that matter. Every time he'd come out, they'd just disappear, you know. The old saying, like cockroaches when the light come on, right? You know, you turn the light up, there they go. You know, you can't see them anymore, all right? So that's what they were doing. They were trying to do it under their own power. The second thing I see here is that David was able to fight and defeat the giant Goliath because he knew that God was fighting for him. He didn't go in his own power. Look what he told Goliath. Look at verse number 46. Verse number 45, 46. He said, "Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." That next phrase, I love it. He said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." He says, hey, I want you to know something there, giant. I don't care how big you are. I don't care if your spear staff is the size of a weaver's beam. You know, the big old, can you imagine the giant beam? You know, normal spears, you know, have a you know, staff on them like this so you can grip it and throw. His was like this big, you know. His hands were massive. He's a giant 9 foot tall. So David's saying, I don't care how big you are. I don't care how big your spear is. I don't care how big your sword is, what you got, your shield, all that stuff that you have. He said, because I'm coming to thee in the name of the Lord. I'm coming to thee in the name of my God. And he's going to help me. I'm going to kill you with his power today. And then he goes on. He says, I'm going to chop your head off. I'm going to use your own sword, basically is what he ended up doing, right? I'm going to chop your head off. I'm going to feed your army to the birds and the wild beasts. That's what's going to happen next. And so David, he's saying, I don't care, you know, what you have and what you have behind you. I've got God, the Lord, on my side. And so when we come up against things that are a little tough, maybe we come up on some tough times, something that we, you know, have going on, a giant in our life, just remember that we as believers, Christians, we have the Lord on our side. And he's promised he's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us, right? He's always with us. So we need to always remember those things. The army represents the average Christian, just going through the motions, just doing what they think they're supposed to do. Maybe the ones that just show up on Sunday morning because, you know, I'm just supposed to do that. You know, I don't really want to get involved with things. I just like to go, just, you know, we're supposed to go to church. And I've seen this many times with young people. Maybe come out of a good church and then they go on to a Bible college just because they think that's what they're supposed to do, right? Many of them feel the pressure to go. Now, I think every young person should take at least 1 year of Bible college. They should go there. They should take some kind of Bible college course, class, whether it's in a home institute like we have or going off to a Bible college somewhere. You know, that's good. You should. And then, especially if they haven't really felt the Lord's call into the ministry, maybe that'll spur that on. And you know what? There is something I can do for the Lord. You know, But there's many times they don't ever feel that call, and they have no intention on really feeling that call, and they just go because, you know, they think that's what they're supposed to do, right? So they're just going through the motions, right? They're just kind of being average, just kind of doing what we think we're supposed to do. But because they're doing that under their own power, and when things get a little tough, things get a little hard, then what happens? That average Christian, they kind of fade away, right? We don't see them anymore. They're the ones that whenever you look around, you're like, hey, what happened to brother so-and-so? Hey, where's sister so-and-so? I haven't seen them. What happened? You know? So we have to be aware of that, that we've got to make sure that we don't do things under our own power. The statistics show that about 1,500 to 1,700 pastors or preachers quit the ministry each month. That's a lot of pastors, preachers quitting in a month. About 3,500 people quit the church each month. Now, these are statistics from every denomination that there is, you know, just kind of lumping them all together. But you get the idea. Even if one family steps out of a good Bible-believing church, such as this one or ours, then that's too many. Amen? Even if one pastor stops preaching the Bible and steps out of a pulpit and says, you know what, I'm done. That's too many. So we should never see that. So David here, though, so the army represents the average, just the average, going, you know, floating through, just going through the motions. But David represents the minority, the one guy, the one man that's sticking by the stuff, that's going in the power of God. And this guy, you know, we might look up to him and call him that super Christian, the guy that's just, oh man, this guy's really on fire. But really, he's just doing what all of us are supposed to do, right? He's doing what all of us are supposed to do. You know, remember Eliab said, hey, what are you doing here? Why are you here? I know your naughtiness of your heart, right? He said, I know your intentions. I know what you're thinking. You're just wanting to see this battle because you weren't asked to come because you're so young. You're just a teenager. We didn't ask you to come. You weren't going to fight with Saul's army. He said, so I know why you're here. You just want to see what's going on. But David's response there, verse number 29, look at it again. Look at it again there, 29. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? What have I done? What have I done? Is there not a cause? And then he says there in verse number 30, it says that he turned from Eliab, and he says it again to somebody else. Hey, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And then I think he probably found somebody else. Hey, what have I done? Is there not a cause? Hey, is there not a cause? He's probably picking people out. Hey, is there not a cause? What are you doing? Don't worry about what I'm doing. What have I done? Is there not a cause? This kind of reminds me of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. Go ahead and turn there if you would. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, very familiar verse. You know the verse, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Get all my pages turned here too. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That last phrase there, which is your reasonable service. A reasonable service. It's only reasonable. David's saying, I'm not doing anything special. This is our reasonable service. What have I done? Is there not a cause? He says, I'm not doing anything any different than all of us are supposed to do. As the army of God, as the people of God, is there not a cause? We as Christians are in a battle. And it's a spiritual battle. In Sunday school this morning, we learned about the humanism and the things that are being taught in our schools, and it's bombarding us all around. Everywhere you look, it doesn't matter. You turn on a TV, there's something pushed in your face. You drive down the street, there's a billboard on, and there's something pushed in your face. You turn on the radio just to listen to a commercial, or to listen to some radio, and a commercial pops in, and there's something being pushed in your face. That's why I don't even listen to the radio much. We have a man in our church that owns a Southern Gospel station. That's about the only station I listen to. Occasionally, I will turn on sports radio because I'm a sports guy. I love sports. And hope y'all don't take that against me, but I love sports. So, no. But I will listen to a lot of sports radio, but then a commercial comes on, I'm like, I got to change it because they're pushing something else. Everything, the stuff, it's surrounding us. It's all the way around us. And it's closing in. So we have to make sure that we stay strong and stand up for the cause just like David was doing. Turn to Ezekiel, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22, verse number 30. Check my time here so I know I'm not going too long. Ezekiel 22, verse number 30. And I sought for a man, it says, among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Ezekiel said that God was looking for a man to make up the hedge, fill the gap, to stand here in this spot. But he found none. He did not only find a dozen or 50 or a bunch. He couldn't find one, right? It says, I found none. No, none, not one is what he says. I didn't find one. So we've got to make sure we're standing in the gap, that we are standing up for what is right today, standing right here on God's word. Amen? That's what we got to do. So how do we make sure that we are being David's instead of Saul's army? All right, remember that other passage I told you to hold there with your ribbon or your finger or whatever you wanted to hold it with there, elbow, I don't care. 1 Corinthians 16. Here's how we're going to stand, how we're going to be right where we're supposed to be David's instead of Saul's army. Very simple verse. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. So the first thing we see is that, of course we know here, Paul, a lot of times he used illustrations of a military type, right? We've seen that many times. And this one here really has a definite military tone. He liked to talk about being good soldiers. And so here we see this. The first thing he says is, watch. Watch. Christians must be on guard. We know that the devil wants nothing more than to be able to destroy a Christian. He wants to see a Christian fall. He wants to see a Christian fail, especially the Christian family, the family unit, right? He's been trying to destroy that for years, and he's really making some good progress in that arena. So we know that the devil wants nothing more than to see Christians fail. So we have to make sure that we are watching, ready, getting ready for the attack. We got to be on guard. 1 Peter 5:8, you know the verse that says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's hungry. Lions roar the loudest when they are hungry. And he's walking around roaring because he's hungry to destroy Christians. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy God's people. So we have to watch. One thing I forgot to tell you about me is my job that pays the bills is I am a corrections officer for the Illinois Department of Corrections. So, and we have a phrase that we like to use at the prison in corrections, situational awareness. And it's used in many times other than just in law enforcement, but situational awareness. You have to be aware of the situation before you just go running in blindly. EMTs, first responders, things like that, they use the same thing. They can't just go running in blind and not knowing what's going on, or they can be harmed themselves or possibly lose their life. I remember we had a nurse that worked at the prison, and she was a nurse on the outside of the prison. She worked as an EMT, and she worked at the hospital, and she had kind of done a lot of things. She was driving home one day, and she comes across this accident. She didn't pay attention that some things were going on, there was a power line that had came across, and she came into contact with that power line. And of course, you know what happened. She didn't see what was happening first. I've seen state police that have responded to things what they thought might have been a fire, but turned out it was an anhydrous ammonia tank that had ruptured, and it's blowing out that anhydrous. Within 30 seconds, you know, that officer is gone, because you can't breathe inside this thing. So those kinds of things. I've seen people run in blindly to stuff, not knowing what's going to happen. They get themselves injured as well. So you have to have a little bit of situational awareness. So we need to look around us. A lot of times we put the blinders on, and we just look, all right, I'm just going to focus right here, and I'm not going to look at what's around me, what's going on. But we have to make sure that we're looking around, because there's a lot of people around us that are falling. There's a lot of people around us that the devil's getting. We got to make sure that we stop that. So the Christian must make sure that they are also right before their God. They need to be right before they can help their family or any others. It's hard to influence people if your own life is messed up. Amen. You know, people oftentimes will see that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." It says, you know, you need to make sure you take heed to the things of God. Take heed diligently to the things that you've learned, to the things that you've been taught, the things that God's word tells you, unless, you know, lest, you know, they depart from thy heart all the days. He said, you're going to forget those things. There's actually, we had this conversation the other day. There's a lot of people like to use the Bible on just the electronic device, right? Many people have gotten away from using an actual Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I will oftentimes read my Bible or you know, a quick, because it's real easy. Pull out the phone. Where's that passage? Oh, yeah, read that, study this, do that. I've done that. It's fine. But it's scary sometimes to think that if people will get completely away from the hard copy of God's Word, how easy would it be for it just to be gone like that? All they have to do is turn off whatever switch, turn off whatever feed, and it's gone. So we have to make sure that we take these things and heed them and learn them, and then teach them to our sons and our sons' sons, it says, lest you forget all the days of your life. You don't have to turn there, but real quickly, Matthew 26, 41 says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." 1 Timothy 4, 16 says this, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You have to make sure that you have got yourself in line before we can help each other, help anybody else out. Watch can also mean, this word watch can also mean that not only are we to watch out for ourselves, but also be watchful for those around us as watchmen. Cities used to put watchmen up on the towers and up on the walls, and they would yell out if there's some kind of danger. If, hey, something's getting ready, there's an army coming, this guy's coming, this is happening. They would let people know. They'd shout out, and they would tell the people, hey, this is what's going on around us. Well, the danger is around us. We need to be watchmen. We need to be shouting out. We need to be telling people, hey, here's what's going to happen. Here's what God's word says. Here's what the devil's trying to do. Here's what's going to happen if you don't listen to Jesus Christ and you don't listen to his calling. We got to be watchmen. We got to tell. Isaiah 62 6 says this, "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." That's us. If we make mention of the Lord, we need to make sure we're not keeping silent. We're watchmen. We're watchmen. We're the watchmen on the walls. That's our job as Christians, as believers. That's our job, to be the watchmen and shout out to those around us. Jeremiah 6, 17 says this, "Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they say, we will not hearken." Ezekiel 3, 17 says this, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. So we need to watch. We need to watch. Watch for ourselves and watch for others. Second part of that verse there, watch ye, says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. God's word says that we are to stand fast in the faith. We've got to be steadfast. We've got to stay. No false doctrine, no teaching of error, no influence either from within or without the church should cause the Christian to deviate from the fundamentals of the faith. Amen? We got to make sure that we stick by the stuff. Stay strong in the stuff. Joshua, turn there real quick. Joshua. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 2, because we'll come back to it. I guess I should have told you before I told you to go to Joshua, right? But keep both places there. Joshua 23, verse number 6. 23, verse number 6 says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. Well, the first thing that they did, God had told them, hey, get rid of everybody, right? Get rid of everybody around you. All this nation I'm putting you in, you need to get rid of all these people. Did they do that? No. They didn't do it. They let some people live. They let some people stay. They let them be around them. And so Joshua here has to remind them, hey, he says, that you come not among these nations that remain among you. They were told, get rid of them. But Joshua said, hey, I'm going away. I'm going the way of the earth. Death is coming. Here's what you need to do. Stick by the stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We have to stand by the stuff. We have to stick by the stuff. Stand fast in the faith. You must be in God's word daily, too. You must study it. Meditate on it. Take it with you so that you can stand on its truth. We know the section there in Ephesians chapter 6 talking about the armor of God. And we don't have to read all that. Well, I'll just read it real quick. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians chapter 6 says this. Finally, in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We got to do everything that we can do to stand, and that is by taking God's word with us, studying it, meditating on it, knowing it, so that we can do all that we can do to stand. So we must stand fast in the faith. Let's continue on here so I can be done. I told you I wouldn't be long, and I'm about to break that promise, right? Verse number 13 again of 1 Corinthians 16, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you. Now, I went ahead and threw the next phrase in there, like men. There's no place for a spiritual coward in the army of the Lord. The God who saves us will furnish the grace and the courage for us to go through the battle, to do what we need to do for him. And we must stay right there and fight like men. Now, ladies, I don't want you to unplug here because it mentions men, but we all have to fight. Amen? But this is a sad truth. There is a falling away of strong men in this country. Yes, exactly. God help us. And that's exactly what the society wants. Society wants men to become more feminine in nature. There's a push for it every day. All around us, we see it all the time. So we may have to make sure that we are like men fighting. Just stay right here. All right? Let me give you a couple verses on courage, or if you want to even say manliness, we can say that too. 2 Samuel 10:9 says this, when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, before and behind, he chose all of his choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered to the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. They were surrounded by Syrians on one side and Ammonites on the other side. He said, if the Syrians be strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people, for the cities of our God, and the Lord and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. 1 Kings 2:1 says this, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. David's charge to Solomon whenever he was about ready to die, and Solomon's going to take over the kingdom, show thyself a man. Of course, on the flip side of things, we've seen many examples of cowardice in the face of adversity. The 10 spies in Numbers 13, the followers of Gideon in Judges chapter 7, Israel before Goliath, right? We just saw that. We just read that in 1 Samuel 17. The children of Ephraim in Psalm 78, the Bible says that they were armed and turned their back in the day of battle. They went away. They went away from the battle. And then also the disciples in Matthew 26:56, they fled. So we are to be always ready to fight for the right. Quit, you like men. And then the last part there, watch ye, stand fast with faith. Quit you like men, be strong. We are engaged in this spiritual battle. We've talked about it a couple times already. And Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen? You see that verse up many times. You know, a lot of people have it, you know, I've seen many pastors have it in their office and different things like that. So we are engaged in this spiritual battle, and God will furnish the strength and the might and the power that we need to be good soldiers for him and to continue to fight for him. Joshua chapter 1 of Joshua says this in verse number 6, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then if you skip to 9, it says this, have not I commanded thee, be strong and have a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. The command is there over and over again, be strong, have courage, be strong, be strong, I'm with you, be strong. 1 Chronicles 15:7 says this, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Isaiah 35:4 says, say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And 2 Timothy 2:1, verse 1-3 says this, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we see the examples are given in Scripture that we are to not be like the army of Saul. We are to be strong. We're to stay by the stuff. We're to stay right there and have courage, because God's going to supply all the power, all the courage that we need. He'll give us exactly what we want if we only go in His name, in His power. Don't be like the Saul's army here and try to do things under your own power. Be like David. David, he went and he says, it doesn't matter how big you are. It doesn't matter what opposition I come against. I'm going to go in God's power. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You know who those are, right? Also known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I like to call them Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's their Hebrew names. They knew the same thing. They told King Nebuchadnezzar, hey, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king, because our God is going to watch over us. He's going to be with us. He's going to take care of us. They knew that even if he threw them in that fiery furnace, and even if he chose to not let them live through it, our God's still with us. And they knew, even if we die in that fiery furnace, we're better up there than we are down here with you, King Nebuchadnezzar. But they knew, I think they knew, hey, God's going to watch over us. He's not going to let anything happen to us. And what happened? They get thrown in that fiery furnace that had been heated up 7 times hotter. The men that threw them in died because of the heat. And it says that they were walking around with the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, there's a fourth man walking around in there likened to the Son of God. And we know they came out. Their ropes were burned off. Their clothes didn't even smell of smoke. Not a hair on their body was singed because they went with God's power. All right, so we need to make sure that we are, all of us, no matter what age, no matter what stage of life, no matter where we're at, no matter what our circumstances are, where we work, if we don't work, if we're retired, no matter what, we need to make sure that we go in the power of God, that we act like David did and understand that God's with us and he's going to give us all that we need to make sure that we can watch and we can stand fast in the faith, that we quit or act like men, courageous, and that we be strong. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clear and concise message that it gives us. We thank you for the examples that you give us in your word of how we can follow you and how we can trust you and how we can stay strong in you. Lord, we also see the examples of those that didn't. We see the examples of those that didn't trust in you and they didn't follow your leading. They didn't follow in your power and how they failed. Lord, we pray that you just help us as we go out, that we daily take your word and we use it, we apply it, and we live by it, and we trust in it, and we trust in you to lead us in everything we do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play,